It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Well, we've looked at the apostles and we've looked at prophets, those people who lived many years ago, and they foretold what was going to take place. And we looked at the term evangelist found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Well, now I'd like for us to look at someone else here. It says, "and some pastors." Well, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Bible says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock." Now, God has made it clear about pastors. And I'm not going to go into every duty. I'm not going to go into every stipulation that a pastor is to meet before he is a pastor. First of all, let me say this, that a pastor becomes a pastor when God says so. And they must respond favorably if they're going to be that pastor. But God will choose. He will let a person know, a man know, if he is to be a pastor. And prayerfully, that person whom God has chosen will be a pastor. I've met some people in the past who have said that years before that I met them, that God had called them to be a pastor, and they refused. And they've never been the same. They have never really recovered from not being the pastor. In other words, they're disappointed. And the main thing is they're disappointed that God is disappointed in them by not answering the call of being a pastor. Well, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, we read something about a pastor. It says, "Take heed therefore," in other words, pastor, "unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." One of the main goals and one of the main things that a pastor is to do is to be an overseer. That pastor is to take care of the flock of God. That pastor is to warn the flock of God of dangers. That pastor is to help the church, the people of God within that local congregation, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because it says to feed the church of God. That means to expound the word of God, to give out the word of God, to let people know in that local church, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, we as preachers can stand and we can tell you what we think. And unless that is backed up by the word of God, it's worthless. We must back up what we preach from the word of God. The Bible says to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And that's a serious thing here that we're reading about. God reminds the pastor here that he is taking care of the church that God sent his son to die for and to shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. It says, "which he hath purchased with his own blood." That's the flock of God. That's the people of God of that local church. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 tells the pastor what to do. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. That means to be ready to preach the word of God, to let people know that Jesus saves and that Jesus can take care of the saved person, that one day that person will be with Jesus Christ in glory. The Bible goes on there in 2 Timothy 4 and 2 says, "Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Reprove, rebuke. That means that there's a time when a preacher has to reprove. In other words, when he preaches the word of God is like a sword. It's like a sharp knife. It's like a sharp two-edged sword. The Bible says that it will pierce. It will go into the deepest section of the person's heart. And when a pastor stands, he is not to cut corners. He is not to be afraid to say what God has placed on his heart from the word of God, that when a person, a saved person, gets out of the will of God, now that pastor is not going to know who that person is, I do not believe, within a congregation. Sometimes they may hear rumors they're human beings, but when they preach, they need to be led of the Lord in order to help that individual who's going through a difficult time, who has something within them or that is causing them problems or that they're causing problems, he needs to reprove that person who has that problem. He needs to rebuke sin, and he needs to exhort with all longsuffering. He needs to build up. He needs to exhort the people of God with doctrine. The doctrine is the Word of God. Doctrine is the Word of God. We need to stand upon that book, the King James Bible. We need to stand and take a stand for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He bled and died for us, that we could even be a member of a local church, and we need to be thankful for that daily in our lives as saved people. Now notice the office of pastor would be a continuing office in what we would call the church age that we live in, or in other words, the dispensation of the church. And of course, the dispensation of the church will end in the ushering in of the tribulation period, or the dispensation, I believe, the tribulation period. And by studying the Word of God, it becomes apparent that in the tribulation period, the term pastor, as we know it today, will cease to exist. However, we find that during the tribulation, the Word of God will continue to be given out by those who will proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. The Word of God will be proclaimed. In Revelation chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, it says, "And one of the elders," now notice this, "one of the elders answered, saying unto me," this is John now that the elder is speaking to, "one are these which are arrayed in white robes?" It's odd that this elder would say unto John, but notice what happens. He says, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" "And I said unto him, Sir," now this is John speaking, he said, "Sir, thou knowest." "And he said to me," the elder spoke to him and said to him, "these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." In other words, these people that John was viewing here, John saw things that God gave him. John saw things that we see in the Word of God today. We're looking at it, and I'm looking at it right now as I read the Word of God. I'm seeing what John saw in my mind's eye, but John saw this in a vision. He said, "Who are these people?" And the elder said, "These are those who made themselves white in the blood of the Lamb, their robes white in the blood of the Lamb." Well, how did this happen? Well, today Romans 10:13 tells us how it happened. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's the way it is today, and that's the way it's going to be in the tribulation period. There's only one way to be saved, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16:31, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." People are saved the same way in every what we call dispensations. In other words, dispensations, that a time period that people are on this earth. And might I say that a dispensation, when we think of a dispensation, we could call it the economy of God. In other words, this earth actually belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. And he's left man in charge of this. And it's sad that man has failed God so many times in doing what God wants him to do. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, man failed God by eating of the forbidden fruit. But thank God, God did not fail man. The Bible tells us that he made skins, and that means that their animals were slain, their blood was slain. And this blood being slain was a representation of later on when Jesus Christ would shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. God clothed the people, Adam and Eve, with the skins. And that was the same thing that we look at back in the book of Revelation there. It says they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They were clothed with the Lamb's clothes. Jesus Christ gave his life not only for us, but he will give his life for those people. He has given his life for those people who are in the tribulation period, and they will be saved. Now, the pastor's office will be changed. I do not believe that we will see, or that we won't be here anyway, that those of us who are saved will be gone, will be raptured out of this place. But the office of pastor will be changed. But yet, the good news of Jesus Christ will still go forth. Now, without doing a disservice to anyone during the tribulation who would claim the good news, and I believe those who will, in other words, who will proclaim the good news, I believe those who will proclaim the Word of God would actually be someone who would we would call, without apology, an evangelist. Now, the term evangelist is not found in the book of Revelation, but remember, the term evangelist means to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So those people who get saved during the tribulation period, they too will hear about Jesus Christ. They too will hear about the Messiah. They too will have an opportunity to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And by the way, I believe that not only will we understand as we study the Word of God that there will be people proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, but you see, we also find an angelic evangelist in the book of Revelation just before the tribulation ends. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6 says, "And I saw another angel fly." Listen to this now. "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." They will be without excuse, in other words. Those people who are living during that time will not have an excuse of not trusting Jesus Christ. They will not have any reason, any good reason, to refuse Jesus Christ. They will not be able to stand at the white throne judgment and say, "I had never heard. I didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. I didn't know how to get saved. I didn't know the good news of Jesus Christ." They will not get away with that, because after the evangelists that we've spoken of here, those people going about telling others how to be saved, there will be an angel who flies in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto the people that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. There is no excuse for people going to hell. People will see this, and they'll understand that when they stand at the white throne judgment. When Jesus Christ pronounces judgment upon that individual who's never trusted him as Lord and Savior, they will hear him say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." And they will be cast into the lake of fire, where the fire will not be quenched, where there will never be an end to the fire. There will never be an end to the time a person is in the lake of fire. In fact, there'll be time no more. It'll be eternity. They will never escape from the fires of that place. They will never get out of the lake of fire. And what an awesome responsibility it is for us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. What an awesome privilege it is to be able to tell people. In essence, we are trying to rescue people from the lake of fire by telling them that Jesus saves, that Jesus wants them to be saved. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," Romans 10:13. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation," Romans 10:9-10. Won't you trust him today as your Savior? Won't you, as a saved person, tell other people about Jesus Christ, how that they too one day can go to heaven and be with us, with Jesus Christ?
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.